This morning's scripture is John 14, 15 through 29, as this is one of our gospels. Please rise as you are able. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, those who love me will keep my word. And my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. This weekend is Kansas City Pride Weekend. And our church took a big step forward in our involvement in Pride this year. We have participated in the parade for 3 years now, but this year, for the first time, we also had a booth at the festival. Huge shout out to everyone who helped make it possible, who helped come out, danced in the rain with us, and those of our church who are there this morning keeping the party going. Having a booth was a big step because it allows us to meet those at Pride, actually come in contact with those at Pride. And maybe in a little bit of a way, make a difference there at Pride. Now, Pride is a very special place, especially if you are a gay person. There are many, many different places that sometimes, as a openly gay person, it is hard to be yourself. It's challenging to be yourself. And sometimes even dangerous to be yourself. There are different places through looks, through actions, and even sometimes words that you feel judged, you feel diminished, you feel made less than. And the church, historically, can be one of those places where that is most true. For many in the queer community, the church, at some point in our lives, has told us that we are not good enough. That we do not fit into their mold of how a Christian is supposed to act, or supposed to look, or supposed to love. Many of us in the queer community have heard this at least one time or other in our lives. And I have been a church person my whole life, and this is kind of crazy to think about, but I am quickly approaching 20 years working for the church in some form or fashion through different positions in youth ministry. And I can honestly tell you that I have lost count at this point how many times I have heard from churches, heard from church officials, and very often people who claim to be Christian themselves who have told me to my face that I am not a true Christian, who have told me to my face that I am not fit to work with children, and especially not in a church setting. And my personal favorite, always popular in some of those circles, that it doesn't matter the work that I do, that I'm going to hell either way. And the end result is hate and division, rather than love and inclusion and bringing people together. And I am so, so very thankful. I thank God each and every day that our church and churches like ours are working our hardest to change that narrative, to change that message to one of love and inclusion. As I was preparing to speak this morning, I could not help but kind of chuckle at the perfection that this year's Pride Weekend was also Pentecost Sunday. Here in a moment, we're going to read the story of Pentecost. But just in case you don't know, Pentecost Sunday celebrates the arrival of the Holy Spirit. It's also known as the birthday of the church. So happy birthday, church. Just moments ago, Jake read from the Gospel of John of Jesus's promise of sending the Holy Spirit, fulfilled today by the event of Pentecost. It's not hard to see in this story that the Holy Spirit is the very definition of love. In that reading, John refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, an advocate, God's peace, and most importantly, John describes the Holy Spirit as love. In that reading that Jake read, it is only 15 verses long, but the word love is used 9 times in that reading. 2 weeks ago, Amanda spoke of love and the importance of love. And she also reminded us that if a word or phrase is used multiple times, it's probably important and we should pay attention. And I would say 9 times in 15 verses, maybe we should pay attention to that love that is being spoken about. And that was just the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Then we come today to the story of Pentecost, the fulfillment of that promise that Jesus made to his followers in the Gospel of John. And we see the Holy Spirit arrive in a full display of love and inclusion. We're now going to read the story of Pentecost from Acts chapter 2. It says this: when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each of them heard them speaking in their native language. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this all mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Then Peter goes on to quote the prophets Joel and David and speaks of Jesus, what they experienced on their journey together. He spoke of the sacrifice of Jesus and the love of God. Then jumping ahead a little bit to later in Acts chapter 2, the author Luke goes on to say at verse 37, "Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him,'" which is everyone, by the way. "He testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourself from this corrupt generation,' so that those who welcome his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers." This is the word of God for the people of God. Here in the story of Pentecost, we see many different examples of love, inclusion, and bringing people together. Verse 1 sets out the initial stage for inclusion with the simple statement that you might miss, that they, meaning the disciples, were all gathered in one place. Very few times in the entire Gospels, regardless of which one you're reading, is this statement actually made. We can assume that they kind of traveled separately, spreading the word of God. And there really are only several events through the entire story of the gospel where all of the disciples were actually in one place. Those readings include the actual calling of the disciples, the Last Supper, the appearance of Jesus after the resurrection, Jesus's ascension into heaven, and now here at Pentecost. Is it actually stated that they were all in one place? So that alone is noteworthy. Next, the act of all who were present being able to hear and understand one another in their native language is a perfect example of inclusion. If you've ever traveled to another country and struggled with basic communication and experienced the frustration of not even to have the most basic communication or to ask where the bathroom is, you know how separative that can be, how much that can make you feel like an outsider. The author takes time to list many different people who were present in Jerusalem, stating different countries of origin represented, different ethnicities, and different religious beliefs. They were all brought together and heard the message of God. None were excluded, none were left out, none were outcast, and none made to feel less than. They were all welcomed in, all shown that love, all shown the inclusive power of God. And I think therein lies the true meaning of Pentecost. And how perfect is it that Pentecost Sunday falls on Pride Weekend? It got me thinking, maybe how would this story look like if it were to occur again? What would it look like if the Holy Spirit were to arrive at Pride Festival in Kansas City? How would the story go? Close your eyes. Let me paint this picture. Let's go on this journey together. Let's see how this might look. It might read something like this. When the day had come and the whole church was gathered in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and filled the entire Pride Festival where they were gathered. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were people of every walks of life there at the festival, and the sound was bewildered because rather than division and hate, the people heard a message of love, inclusive love, unconditional love, God's love, love that knows no boundaries and no conditions. And the people were astounded. People were there from all over Kansas City and even farther places like Plattsburgh and Warrensburg, and even farther still from St. Joe and Columbia and Topeka. And there were people of every color, every race and creed, every social class, every political party, every body type, every denomination and religion. And they all came together waving flags of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple, and every color of the rainbow. And there, they felt God. They felt love, and they were loved. Church, what an amazing sight that would be. And even like in the story, some would sneer and joke and say things like, oh, they're filled with new wine. It is Pride, so, you know, take that as you will. But the world would change. And not just for those few days in June, but lives would change. Our community would change. And in turn, the world would change and be made a better place. Now, it is our job as the church to make this world a reality. A place where everyone, and I mean everyone, is included. A place where everyone is loved. A place where everyone hears, sees, and feels God moving in this world. We have taken a step towards helping to create that world this weekend at Pride, but we also recognize that we have so far yet to go. The promise of John and the day of Pentecost shows the arrival of the Holy Spirit into the world. And we are shown through the story of Pentecost the inclusive power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already in us thanks to this day of Pentecost. Now it is up to us to make this world a reality. It's our job to take this flame given to us and help ignite the change, to help make this world a more loving, more inclusive, more welcoming world for all. Let's keep going, keep creating, and keep loving. Amen.